Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tony Gwynn Jr. and Matt Scraby for the next, what is it, Scrabe? 2.5, 3 hours today? I know we're ahead of Monday Night Football.
Two straight up. Yes.
Okay, we got Monday Night Football coming up.
We have a jam-packed show.
4 o'clock, and we got to get right to it because there's obviously a lot going on. The news of the day, I'm sure you're all well aware of by now, Mike Schilt has retired from managing. That means the Padres are looking for a manager. And that means, Tony, that the Elo family household income has taken a big hit. That's why we're sad. Kylie's upset. She's not going to get as nice of treats. My wife is obviously upset. Her Nordstrom shopping budget has taken a big hit. And for those of you who follow the show, you know that we joke often that every time Mike Schilt does something, and I tend to agree with it, people think I'm on the Mike Schilt payroll. So if I were on the Mike Schilt payroll, Tony,
this would be a sad day for you.
I just said it's a sad day. That's it, man. That ship has now sailed. I'm going to have to find another way to make extra income. But in all seriousness, I don't think anyone saw this coming, Tony. No. When the announcement came this morning, it had to be pretty much shocking to just about anybody who saw it or read it or heard about it.
Yeah, no, I don't think he'd mind me sharing. I actually spoke with him last night about it, and it sounded like a man that was he was burnt.
He was worn out.
He was worn
just
out.
Talking last yeah. night. Yeah,
and I think the letter kind of spoke to some of his feelings as the season got down towards the end. I'll share this. After the game 3 loss,
the one that
ended it,
them.
Right?
Yeah.
Myself, Jesse, and my wife were walking back from grabbing a bite to eat and saw Mike. He didn't see us, but we saw him, and he looked like a zombie. I mean, he looked zapped, you know? And I think we were like right up on him when he actually realized, you know, who it was before he kind of stopped and kind of snapped it to it and did his thing before walking off. But outside of me knowing last night, 100% surprise. Didn't see that coming at all.
The question is, did the Padre organization see it coming at all? Did they have any hint of this? A.J. Preller, released his statement today, wishing Mike Schilt the best. A.J. will have a press conference tomorrow. So, we can, guess all we want as to, what he thought, what he knew. But he'll address all that tomorrow. It's at 10 a.m. We're going to have it here on 97.3 The Fan. So you'll be able to hear A.J. tomorrow. Obviously, the low-hanging fruit here is that, Bob Melvin left because he and A.J. Preller didn't see eye to eye. So it must be true then that Mike Schilt is actually leaving because he and A.J. Preller didn't see eye to eye. I can't
I don't think
say that's
accurate.
Absolutely not true 100%. I'm not there behind the scenes. But it doesn't seem to be the real answer here, Tony. And you talked to him last night, reading his statement today. That was Mike Schilt talking. You could hear his words.
100%.
And this is a guy, in my mind, that, really does take everything to the hilt, and you can only do that to yourself for so long.
By all accounts, this has nothing to do with AJ.
Right.
I mean, he is probably, based on what we know about the Bo Mel situation, based on what we know about the others before, this seems to have been his best, you know, relationship between coach and himself. I mean, we hadn't heard no whispers of like we heard in past. So I think you take that as a nod that this was truly Mike saying, I'm done. And listen, I think there's a lot probably to unpack with that, you know, another long season. You know, the Padres cut payroll, still got to the payroll, to the playoff, disappointing end nonetheless. And, you know, he's been in baseball for a long, long time. Maybe he just got to the point where it was less about the game and more about taking care of himself a little bit.
Yeah, I understand.
Because those who were around Mike, this wasn't a guy who, like, didn't wear his emotion on his sleeve. Like, after every game, he'd sit down there in front of that press conference, and it was almost like he had played 9 innings of baseball himself.
Yeah.
After every game.
Yeah. Win or lose.
Win or lose.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Tony. I think this is a Mike Shildt decision. I think people are going to say what they want to say. They're going to infer whatever they want to infer. But I don't see that being the case here. Don't forget, anyway, Mike Shildt, he's been manager of the Padres for 2 years. He's been in the game for over 30 years.
Right.
He's been wearing these wins and losses on his sleeve, in his heart, in his mind for, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing he said that stood out to me, because I agree with Mike Shildt, he is a guy that not only cares what people think and he's a people pleaser. Believe it or not, Mike Shildt is a people pleaser. There are people like that out there that really want everyone else around them to be happy so that they can be content. And he wanted his players to be happy. He wanted, you know, everybody to understand what things were going on. He would love the front office to be happy. He wanted all the fans to be happy if he could, the media if he could. And he finally wrote in his, you know, statement today, maybe it's time I try to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with that. I think a lot of people who are people pleasers eventually get to that point. You know, so why can't, okay, here's a better question maybe, Tony. Why can't we accept it at face value? Because we're in this day and age now where there has to be something at work behind the scenes.
That's a great question.
You know?
I don't know.
We can't just listen to him and go,
I have an answer.
Hey, this is too bad that Mike Shildt retired today. Most people are going to say, you guys are just playing the company line. Actually, it's my final check from Mike Shildt to say this. But, you know.
What'd you got? What'd you say? You know why?
I think I understand why people are asking this, because he has a talented team that could seemingly go to the playoffs again and again.
Here's the other thing.
So that's why I think people are like, why would you give up this?
Here's the other thing that you need to think about. He's walking away from 2 years of a deal with money on it.
That also was surprising to me. Like, he's not getting that money,
right? So for those who think that, you know, the Padres forced him out, he'd have no incentive to give up that money, ultimately, just to walk away, right?
Even if he was forced out, then go ahead and be forced out.
So you got to get
some money. Right. Yeah. Why walk away from it?
Yeah. No. This seems like he is. He's just fried at this point. And so,
Tessa says he said it took a severe toll on him mentally, physically, and emotionally. Can't get any more clear than that.
I think that's pretty straight to the point.
Believe me, I'm a guy who wants a reason. I'm a guy who wants a conspiracy. I'm a guy who wants that. And I understand why people are thinking that there's something else afoot. From all of the information I've received from the people in the know, doesn't seem like there's anything afoot. So, and especially since he's leaving money on the table.
I mean, that's the way it was. It read, you know, when Kevin was reporting it, he's walking away from 2 years on a deal that he still had.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, walking away means you're leaving it there.
What did Bob Melvin say? He didn't want. I think he said he didn't want to interview with the Giants job because he wanted to know that he was like a good candidate, because there's only 30 managerial jobs out there. And he said, I might not find my way back to a managerial job again. So,
well, speaking of that, One thing you have to, I think everybody has to keep open-minded about. And I'll go ahead. Yeah, he said uh-oh because Julio Rodriguez just made it 3-0 in the top of the first inning with a hanging curveball that he shot
that
into
split's
the...
split's not splitting like it was against the Yankees.
I guess it was a hanging splitter, whatever it was from the rookie Savage. Julio got it and cleaned it out down the left field line. So right, just like that, 3-0 Seattle as the AL playoff game is underway. But let's keep this in mind. Retired. Retired means he's retired from baseball from now, for now. If he were to, you know, rest for a year, get his thoughts and everything back together, and if somewhere down the road Mike Schilt got back into the game, still a relatively young man, then it's going to really be loud as to, well, then why did he leave here in the first place? Yeah. But understand that if he does come back down the road, and I have no idea what's, you know, I don't even think he knows exactly where this all play out, but if he did come back down the road, it doesn't necessarily mean that he didn't want to retire this time.
Listen, based on my conversation with him, I don't think he wants to manage a game. I think things can change.
Absolutely. I mean, it has happened before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen that. We've seen guys change their minds often. And at that point, yes, it would be loud, but I think we're a long, long way from that being a real thing.
All right. Well, that is obviously, you know, pretty astounding news to open up our week here as San Diego sports fans. Mike Schilt is retiring. So what does this mean? Well, it means the Padres don't have a manager right now is what it ultimately means.
They're one of many jobs available.
And now
at this point.
They get lumped, lopped in with the rest of the people who are looking for a manager. So what are the Padres going to do? Who are the candidates? Whose names are going to be popping up and whose names have popped up? We'll get into some of that
Tony
as we continue
Gwynn
our conversation.
Name?
That's a negative.
If he we'll
explore this, Chris.
If he leaves, if he leaves, you better take me with him as a bench coach because I'm not staying here with you. I know that.
Well, so. Then I better be the pitching coach.
You know, I was going to say equipment guy, but Tony Patrick is pretty good. So
yeah, I'm not going to take their job's too hard.
That job's not open. Gwynn and Chris, though, we are open for business on a Monday. Lot to get done, short amount of time. We will stick with more Mike Schilt retirement coverage when Gwynn and Chris continues.
Kevin, extremely surprising. Schilt said in his retirement letter that the season took a toll on him mentally, physically, and emotionally. He told me in a text that he's happy with his decision, but unless he's dealing with a serious health issue, it's difficult to imagine him retiring of his own volition. Schilt is 57. He loves managing all season long. He talked about his love for managing this Padres team. Now, the X factor here is general manager A.J. Preller, who has 1 year left on his contract. Does Preller want an extension? Do the Padres want to sign him to an extension? There are a lot of unanswered questions here, and now, with the Padres job open, there are 8 teams, Kevin, 8, looking for managers.
Yowzers. 8 of them.
That's what you took from that clip?
Let me ask you a question, Chris. What do you think...
Who is that? It was Ken Rosenthal,
what do you think,
right?
Ken was insinuating? Do you think he was insinuating?
Oh, yes. He's trying to stir something up.
What do you think he was stirring up?
He's trying to stir up the fact that AJ Preller was the reason that the Mike Schilt left. That's what he's trying to definitely stir up. He says he can't imagine why Mike Schilt would give up this job, even though he said he was frustrated or he was tired. He just said he couldn't imagine it. So to me, it's typical Ken Rosenthal crap I don't listen to.
I took it differently. I took it as, you know, because he said that and then he followed that with saying that AJ Preller had 1 year left on his deal. Does he want an extension? Do they want to extend him? I thought maybe he was talking about the Padres or organization may
be choosing between AJ and a manager.
No, or may have just decided to move in a different direction. I don't know. I didn't quite get that he was pointing out, but that's what he was doing.
I with Chris 100%. It seems like Ken Rosenthal likes to say things to put, you know, stoke the fire,
and he usually doesn't have an answer.
Yeah.
We already know when it comes to the Padres, he's full of crap.
That's
and so this is where I'm going to stay on Ken Rosenthal. Until,
that's all pure
until
speculation.
Further notice.
He didn't that say people that I've talked to within the organization. I mean, he
said he talked to
he did
to
but,
Mike. He said that
no, he
was
tweet,
happy.
He got a text.
He was happy that he Mike. With his decision.
Yes,
but he couldn't imagine
and then he speculated
that.
Something.
Yeah,
he couldn't imagine that Mike Schilt would be walking
right,
away from
point
that.
Taken. I see.
I can't imagine that this is on his own.
Remember the Sinister Sling article?
Come on. Come on, Rosenthal.
The Sinister
when he
Sling.
Put the country and blamed it on Manny Machado, he put Dave Roberts' life in danger.
Let me go on record as saying, this is the Gwynn and Chris show in San Diego, California. Let me go on record as saying, I can't imagine why Fox Television wants to keep employing this loser. There.
Yowzers.
I don't have anything behind
it. You set
it
up, Chris.
I have nothing behind it. I have nothing to, you know, I have nothing to support that claim. but, you know, why do I need
we took
to?
We took a right turn that I enjoyed.
That, I don't even know where to go from there.
sorry, Tony. I didn't mean to throw everything off.
It's all good. So it begins, right? I mean, 8 positions available.
In baseball,
can you
yeah.
name them? Angels, Padres, Giants.
No, I can't name them.
I can't name them either. That's 3.
That's Twins.
Twins. Yeah.
Twins are on the list. Not Angels? You said Angels.
I said Angels. That's 4.
Possibly the Yankees, but not yet.
Nope. They're not on there yet.
This is
Baltimore?
Oh, Baltimore.
Baltimore?
5.
This is embarrassing.
Sorry. I'm not worried about filling their jobs. Here are the lists. The Rockies, the Nats, the Twins, the Angels, the Orioles, the Braves. Giants are the lone team to finish with a .500 record. Of course, Schilt and the Padres were the only one to finish with a winning record of among teams that are looking for a new manager. And speaking of that, sure everybody wants our guess, and I think guess is the proper word at this point, Tony. There's nobody knows this for sure. I don't even think the Padres at this point really know what direction they're going to go. But there's a lot of options.
What kind of guy do they need now that
what kind of guy?
Yeah, because
somebody who's going to get in there and win a whole bunch of games and be the World Series champ.
That's really all they need.
But all
that's
the teams,
all they need.
That's all they need.
That's all they need. Out of all, like, I'm sorry to say, but I don't want to hear an announcement of a Jace Tingler type manager where we're not really sure of anything before. We've never heard of him. He's never been on a he's never been a bench coach.
So
like,
you
feel
want
like this
a manager
team
with
experience
manager. That you have to take Albert Pujols off that list. He's not on there.
I have seen a lot of fans like Albert Pujols for that.
Who is that? Gosh, who would that manager be?
What? Somebody who's been around for a long time and won a bunch of championships and knows how to get it done? I don't know. Bochy, but I don't know. Oh, did that name slip out?
I don't.
What do you mean? I mean, he's out there. His name has to come to everybody's mind. He's won 4 World Series.
I just
series.
Know
he's
everybody else is thinking it.
Sure they are.
All right, so I have to ask the question.
Let's let that cat out of the bag.
Did Springer just go dinger again?
Would you want to have Bochy, return and make it happen here? He's done 3 in San Francisco, 1 in Texas. I'll be perfectly full circle to have Bochy come home and ride off in the sunset in one last parade.
It would be something, wouldn't it?
That would really be something, but I would say I doubt it.
You say no.
I doubt it. I don't have a great reason for it other than it doesn't sound like a perfect mixture to me.
Okay.
We're getting Matt Williams on the chat.
Matt Williams?
Williams. Tatis Sr. for hitting coach. That might work, actually. If we need Fernando to be locked in all year. And it seems like whenever he talks to his dad, he ends up getting locked in.
I don't have any preferences. I just want to see whoever comes in have the same type of connection seemingly we've had the last couple of years between, the manager and front office.
And I'll tell you the...
I just want to see this team win.
Of course. I'll tell you the name that checks at least 2 boxes in my mind. And I don't know how many more boxes need to be checked.
Okay. Okay.
But I think one of the boxes you want to check is somebody that gets along with, understands how, and enjoys working with A.J. Preller. That's to me is an absolute must. I don't think you can have oil and water mixture. And I believe when Mike Schilt was hired and came in as an assistant or, you know, special assistant, he got to know, got to work with AJ. AJ got him. He got AJ. Thought it was a pretty seamless transition. The other guy, I think, is somebody with experience, I think, would be preferable. So the guy that checks both of those boxes is Scott Servais.
Who's in the organization?
Who's in the organization as a special assistant. It would be kind of similar. And he's also had a pretty good run as a manager. Just like Schilt, I think Servais was a manager of the year once, if not, you know, if he didn't win it, he was close with the Mariners. So that's a name to me that checks a couple boxes. I don't like the names of Rocco Baldelli and Brandon Hyde and David Ross. I think they're other recycled managers from other organizations. Sometimes those guys on their second try get it right, get it better, but I'm not a fan of that. And then you're looking at, you know, keeping it very consistent, which I think is something that would appeal to the Padres. And Ruben Niebla would slide right in there beautifully. He's going to be considered probably by some other teams. You don't want to lose this guy in any way.
Yeah.
And you've got somebody, your bullpen guy can jump right in there. And
Ben Fritz, you're talking?
Yeah, Fritz and be your pitching coach. And in a lot of ways, you wouldn't miss a beat. You just go right on, hopefully, with Ruben. So those are some of the different directions that I'm looking at.
Do the Padres need... well, first off, I'm just going to ask this question because I can't handle the chat anymore. Tony, when you are the manager, are you going to still do the show?
Well, you got Doug Gottlieb, who's a...
coach
of Milwaukee basketball and has his national radio show. So there is a precedence for it, Tony.
No, thank you.
He said no, thank you. That means he's thinking about taking the job.
That's what I'm pressing a little bit. Wouldn't you like about the job, Tony?
I want to be with my family.
Ah.
Ultimately.
So what you're saying is you have to give up your family when you become a manager.
Yes, basically. Basically.
Do they need... I'm just asking questions. Do they need someone who's going to be a rule with an iron fist?
Does anybody have anybody like that in baseball, in any sport?
I don't know.
Who does that anymore?
Right.
Bobby Knight is passed on.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think that's a thing.
Earl Weaver, not alive. Sparky, no.
Not alive, he says.
No. I don't believe that's going to be the way anyone goes any longer. The iron fist idea. I don't think so.
It makes this offseason even more intriguing.
That was an understatement, right?
I mean, this is kind of like after the 23 season.
Oh, when Bob Melvin, when he left
the
team.
He was like, he was here, and then he wasn't here, and then we were looking for a manager, and then, boom, it was Mike Schilt, and then we kind of hit the ground running. It'll be interesting, man. There's 8 openings, a lot of candidates. You didn't mention, in terms of guys who've been out, experienced Bud Black. You didn't mention...
I didn't.
That's another one out there.
That always intrigues me, but he's already been here, right?
You've seen some of the newer names. I saw Nick Hudley was a candidate for the Giants job. Is that something of interest?
Has Padre ties?
There's a lot out there.
I've heard David Ross, too.
David Ross, another one.
I mentioned him along with Baldelli and Hyde
as
guys that have been elsewhere that I'm not fond of bringing here.
I know we're over, but I'm going to read this tweet from a great Scrabinator, The Hawk. Matt, I know you know this, but the official story is never the official story. I think the Padre fans who have sold out Petco over and over again deserve some transparency, and the organization needs some stability. This is Preller's 8th managerial choice, ? I mean, come on. And they were asking a question. I calculate
when
4.
When in doubt, times it by 2.
I know. I calculate 4 managers, which is a lot of managers for one general manager.
I mean, it is, but it isn't. I mean, listen, I think Padres, in terms of that, it doesn't... That's the part where we start to go cattywampus, as Chris would say, right? Like, It doesn't have to be that they are trying to deceive. Why does everything have to be in a deceitful?
Because we live in 2025.
What are they getting out of lying about it?
Because we live in 2025, and every narrative is carefully constructed.
But I'm saying, honestly, like let's take that at its face. What are the Padres gaining by lying about it?
Less questions about the...
Because the questions are going to stop? Like, nobody's going to ask?
Good point.
I think if there is a cover-up here...
Right.
Okay. If there is a cover-up here, what you would want to maybe cover all that up just so that you're not giving the appearance that there's cracks in the organization.
Yeah, there's chaos within.
There's some chaos. So if one guy didn't like another guy, and another guy didn't like this guy, and that guy didn't like that guy, and that was really true, and then that came out, then all of a sudden we're looking like the Miami Dolphins. So that I could understand why, as you said, why would they lie? That is why, but I don't think they're lying, having said that.
Okay.
Let's get to break. Where are we going next? I know we changed
things. I have more digging to do on the other side.
Okay.
Now, I have one other name, and then we can move on to some of the other stuff.
Yeah, because, by the way, San Diego State had a very nice weekend,
they did.
I must say.
Yes,
the Aztecs or the Masters are doing good things when bigger stories happen.
I know, right?
They've done it their entire existence.
Right?
So,
we'll get into some Aztec talk too, especially the upsetting Aztec talk, which is somehow our basketball team is not in the top 25.
No, the rankings came out and they forgot to include us.
Yes, it makes no sense. More Gwynn and Chris on the other side.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome back in to Gwynn and Chris 238 on a Monday. The news came down about 5.5 hours ago. Mike Schilt retiring as manager of the Padres. We have more to say about that in this segment. But before we get to that, let's update you on the baseball. We last checked in with you. Julio Rodriguez had hit a first inning 3-run homer to give the Mariners an early lead. But the Blue Jays, bottom of the first. Springer, not a dinger, but a double. And then he came around on an error, and with two outs, Alejandro Kirk, the pride of Tijuana, just below the border, man. Alejandro's had a nice career, came up with a two-out single. So 3-2 Mariners, they're going to the bottom of the second inning. The rookie Treya Savage pitching for Toronto, despite giving up the home run, Tony's already struck out four. And Logan Gilbert pitching for Seattle. The Mariners won the first game last night, 3-1. The big dumper, I thought, kind of turned that whole game around with that home run in the sixth inning, and Seattle got the 1-0 series lead. Tonight, the Dodgers and Brewers in Milwaukee with Snell v. Bullpen.
Ashby, I believe, is
Ashby's starting, but it's bullpen for the Brew Crew. That's at 5 o'clock. There's also Monday Night Football ahead. The Buffalo Bills and the Atlanta Falcons. In fact, there's two games tonight. We also have Chicago and Washington. The Tennessee Titans aren't waiting around. They have fired their coach, Brian Callahan.
There you go.
Just 6 games into the season. I think this is very delicious for the Titans and their fans. First game after Callahan will be this weekend. with Mike Vrabel, whom they unceremoniously fired, bringing his 4-2 Patriots to town.
Glad to be back here,
yeah,
guys.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you letting me go. I'm doing quite well, thank you.
All right, we ventured far away from it, so before I lose the thought, I want to go back to something you said about the Blue Jay game.
Yeah.
The first game, Polanco with another big knock. He seems to be in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, man, that Polanco guy is really good, isn't he?
You know, it's funny. He was 2-for-17 coming into the game. His only two hits, though, were the home runs by Skubal.
Right.
So people thought he was going crazy in the playoffs.
Well, I mean,
he seems to be having some big moments.
He did walk it off in game five.
Had some big moments.
This Polanco guy is good.
And I never said he was bad. I said I wouldn't trade him for a rise.
You're trying to change the narrative, buddy.
I went back. I went back to listen to see if how off base I was.
How off base were you?
I was a little off base. Chris basically said he's not aware of Jorge Polanco because he is in a National League only fantasy baseball league, so he hasn't been paying attention to the AL.
That's fair.
And then he pulled up the stats and he said, and this guy's a terrible player.
All right.
Well. That sounds like verbatim.
And it sounds to me like here we are on October 13th, 2025, the first time I've ever just been flat out wrong.
Oh, I'm not saying, I'm not. It's just funny that this year, poor Chris has gone out on the limb for some of these things, and
pretty
they
much,
have all come back to bite you.
Well, pretty much all of it has to do with defending a rise.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, if I defend a rise, then the comparison I'm using,
it just goes off.
Goes awry. So goes awry. Yeah. So that's why my first off-season bit of business for the Padres was to move on from Luis Arraez. Not because of him, but to save
get
me.
Get everybody off your
just
back.
Just to save me. Yeah. So
can we talk about the Aztecs real quick?
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. I watched the game. I watched them all. Saturday night, I was really, they're favored by 7.5. All three of us picked Nevada because none of us believed the Aztecs on the road.
Shame on us.
Could win like that. And my goodness, punt return touchdown. Pick six by the same guy who had one earlier this season, Chris Johnson.
Had the 90-yard pick
right,
six,
right?
He had
a 91 earlier. He's got to be starting to consider, this is how you make All-American. You start returning interceptions like this. And then they got the 14, but that was only the beginning of their domination.
No, yeah.
Because after that, they just went up and down the field.
All game long.
All game long.
It was a balanced attack, too.
They're running again. They're getting 200 yards rushing, 200 yards passing. Denegal has turned into, all of a sudden, a really dangerous-looking quarterback. And I give the coaching staff a lot of credit with him because I didn't see that in him the first game or two. And then defensively, they give up nothing. It was 44-0 into the fourth quarter. Come on. How often do the Aztecs beat anybody like that on the road?
That's like the second consecutive game where it's been over before.
Yeah.
It needed to be.
They've won four in a row. Three of the wins. I mean, they beat Cal 34-0.
Yeah.
They almost had this one another shutout. They blew out Colorado State. And now they get a week off before they go to Fresno. And I'm sure there'll be some Aztec fans who say, well, all right, show me now against Fresno. Okay, well, we'll see. Fresno State lost their game this weekend.
They haven't just proven it. They have passed with flying colors each of the last two times we've asked them to prove it.
Yeah, I for the first time, and I stopped myself in my tracks. But for the first time today, I ran away with myself.
Which would you run away with yourself to?
What if they go 12-1 and everybody loses a game and they get to sneak into the playoffs? Yeah, that's where I ran away to.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's where I ran away to.
I mean, is that a thing?
Of course it is. The highest ranked team in the other conferences gets in the playoff.
True.
Right now, you've got certainly the Aztecs looking okay in the Mountain West. Now, there's other teams. I know Memphis. I think Tulane has done well. Navy is actually, some teams in those other conferences. So, that'll, muddy up that water. But it's a long season, right? Two more months, a lot of things can happen. And if the Aztecs just keep blowing people out, you'd have to. All right, so then
you'd
I
have
stopped.
To start considering it.
Yeah, but then I stopped because I did. That would be too good to be true, wouldn't it?
Hey, you know when we said that last?
2 years ago when the men's basketball team went to the finals?
That's exactly right.
I know. So I started thinking,
it's like,
about
there's no
that.
Way this could happen, right?
It can't possibly. Right. It never happens to us.
Let me ask the question. If the Aztecs football team gets a spot in the college football playoffs,
should we be doing this?
No, hold on.
I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, will we be able to get a crowd at Snapdragon Stadium?
That's not what I'm
to
saying.
Welcome them
I'm
back.
I'm just saying, should we even be going down this path?
No.
We're
being idiotic.
I just want to know if you guys
absolute idiots here
would like to see the Aztecs football team go and be in the college football playoff, but get beat like crazy, like North Carolina beat the basketball team last year.
Are you kidding
game.
Me?
That is a recruiting boom right there. Yes.
Even if they lose like 75-0,
right. I'm not entertaining this right now.
The whole thing is just ludicrous.
I'm not doing it.
I gotta say, whatever Sean Lewis did the week where he went out and gave away tickets to flag football kids, it has turned around since then.
They're dominating right now, so let's hope they can keep it up. They have a
one thing I can say about Coach Sean Lewis is that he's been pretty steady.
Yes, he's even keel about
at
it
the
all.
Whole, from, yeah. the, from the very get-go.
He said, we're better than this. We're going to show you we're better than this.
Yeah.
But now that they are showing it, he's not running around, you know, popping off.
Nope.
He's just saying, hey, we got to prove it
work.
Again next game.
Yep.
We got to prove it again next game. Sean Lewis has been really good. That's for sure. And then real quick on the basketball team. They did put out the AP rankings
today.
You
know, when you were saying this the other day, as you were in my mind, I was like,
he's going to be right.
It's like, you know what? I think we have turned a corner. I no longer need to expect that it's going to be the way it turned out today.
You know, it would be nice if somebody on a national level pointed that out, but they won't. So we'll point it out. If you're not in a major conference, they're not going to consider you unless your name is Gonzaga. Gonzaga is the only one.
Yeah.
And if you look at the top 25 preseason basketball, every team in it is from a major conference except for Gonzaga, which is number 21. And that's, you know, the Aztecs are, I'll tell you one thing. Brian Dutcher said, look, we know we have a good team.
Loved it.
I don't know what everybody
answer.
Else
right.
has got.
Right.
I just know we're good. And make no mistake about it, he loves this. Wouldn't you love this quietly, Tony, as a coach?
For sure.
You can put this up on every locker room all season long.
100%.
And not only that, a lot of these teams you play are on this list ahead of you. Number 12, UCLA, who they play in the scrimmage Friday night. Number 13, Arizona, is on the schedule. Number 7, Michigan, is on the schedule. So you're going to get a look at a lot of these teams. You're going to get a chance to prove it. And as usual, Mark Ziegler did a great story today, kind of a deep dive into the recent history of San Diego State basketball. And other than 2023, Tony, when they made the final game, they began that season 19th. Every other time, they've been 30-0 or... Sweet 16, Kawhi Leonard,
outside.
Xavier Thames, they were never ranked.
No.
So this is nothing new. Nothing new. Nothing's changed. But you think they would learn a little. But
no,
they haven't.
Clearly not.
Because I do understand that part of the frustration, and Dutcher did touch on it, or somebody did, and said, look, you do have to think that we would at least be getting the respect that what we've done is not an aberration
right,
anymore.
Right. Because that's how these rankings read every
right.
year when they come out.
Yeah, they come
outside of the 19th.
Yeah, you were great last year, but yeah, so what? Yeah.
No, I agree.
So, all right. That's that.
I've
been waiting with bated breath to hear your other candidate for Mike Shildt.
Thank you. It was from the chat. Don't remember who it was, but I kind of like this. Has no managerial experience. It goes against what I said earlier. Mark DeRosa. I guess he does. He's a Team USA World Baseball Classic manager.
I don't know. Mark wants to do it.
You don't know that he wants to do like a big
look,
league?
Look what he's on. He gets to do
he gets
the
to rub
thing.
Elbows with Brian Kinney all the time. Hey, who would want to give that up?
he's got it pretty good.
He does. I mean, he's got a pretty good setup there. I believe he has a young kid. Playing baseball, so I'm sure that's the tough part about, you know, and we'll touch on it.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do before the end of the show. We got another hour, but I'm going to put the top 10 candidates in my mind together in descending order. of who I think would be
descending.
Most...
descending.
Well, starting with 10th, most likely.
Connie Mack.
Down to most likely. You're
Connie
such
Mack.
A jerk.
Joe Torre.
At least... okay, at least Joe Torre's alive, so I could conceivably
Mack.
Pick
wow.
him.
Wow. I don't really know much about Connie Mack. I've just heard his name a million times.
Well, I'll
times.
Tell you one thing that you don't know about, that you should know about Connie Mack. He managed so long ago that he wore a suit and tie in
right.
the dugout.
Really?
Yes. He did not even put a managerial
he didn't have a uniform on.
Jersey on.
That is kind of crazy. How do you think the players feel today? I mean, I'm sure that they knew that he was going to make this
I would imagine he
today.
Contacted them, but I'm sure they're surprised also. Yeah.
They loved him. I mean, he went to bat for them. He would stand up, and even if he looked a little crazy in the process, he didn't care.
Yeah, listen, Mike, you can say what you want. Mike may not have been the perfect manager, but there's the one thing that is for certain is he protected those dudes under any circumstance. You could ask him the most obvious question about a player. If he felt like that was compromising said player in some type of way, you are not getting that question answered.
Yeah, the bunt culture going to go. It's great. You're happy about that, I bet.
Maybe that's a conspiracy. They were over bunt culture, and this was the only, and maybe they got into a big argument because he said, I would like to bunt. I'm just spreading lies at this point.
Yes, you are.
Number one, he bunted because they didn't hit home runs. Number two, if the Seattle Mariners could bunt, that 15-inning game on Friday night would have been over 5 innings before it was over.
Yeah, and Gilbert wouldn't be throwing on short days rest because of it.
Gilbert is struggling again in the second inning. Toronto's actually come back to tie this game 3-3, and they're trying to score more. But the bunt is a necessary part of baseball, and especially when you don't hit home runs. And there is another defense of Mike Shildt. Even
Cha-ching.
In his
man,
in
he
his,
won't even get it.
Even in his retirement, I'm defending Mike Shildt. So,
how crazy was that game on Friday night, though, between the Tigers and the Mariners?
That was nuts.
I
That's
love
what we're
it. Talking about, yeah.
I love it when baseball comes down to it, and they're like, okay, we need Logan Gilbert to come in the game, and then they needed Luis Castillo.
They just kept calling names because that's how you do a winner go home type scenario.
Yeah,
Gilbert pitched in that game, and now maybe it's showing here in this game here. He's got Guerrero up with two on and a 3-3 tie, bottom of the second inning. Again, if the Mariners could have bunted, they could have ended it a lot earlier, but they couldn't bunt, and they couldn't get runners over in extra innings. And so it was fun. I think games like that are great. And I actually miss those games during the regular season. I know you don't, Tony, and I get it, because 162 games, game like that can wreck your bullpen for a while and, cause a lot of havoc. But they're fun games to me. We miss those.
What was the longest game of
the regular season this year? 11 innings? Did anyone go 12? Maybe one
I think
or two
was
games.
12.
Went 12.
But it's not that I don't think they're fun. I just think the aftermath of it isn't worth fun game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. And then, the Brew Crew ousted the Cubs on Saturday night.
Can we talk about... Okay.
What has got you perturbed now?
I saw PCA losing his mind on the field once again. And they go, oh, that's just PCA wearing his heart on his sleeve. When does it turn into you are... destructive when you are angry? When does it turn on someone? When is it no longer
did we
cute?
Talk about it on air?
No,
about the
no,
okay
no.
Well, I witnessed how I think they feel about it. It was in the second game of that series against the Padres. He slammed his helmet down at one point and it like rolled over into the corner like near the Padres dugout. And listen, I've been on a team where guys have slammed their helmets too much and the first base coach had to go like walk out to the outfield to pick it up or it shattered and he had to
pick up all the pieces.
They get to a point where, and they've probably let it be known, if you slam your helmet again, you're bringing your own helmet back. And sure enough, PCA slammed his helmet and it was just spinning in the corner over there. Bat boy had to kind of run back out and PCA was fuming.
That they didn't come
that
get
they
it?
They didn't come get it.
I mean, it's so annoying.
He needs to grow up a little bit for sure.
A little bit.
But he's got an off season to think about it now that the Cubs are eliminated. Guerrero grounded out. They're going to the third inning, tied at 3 in the American League. More Gwynn and Chris. We're going to the 3 o'clock hour.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For a moment, Major League Baseball was in a panic. FS1 went frozen. At least it did here. Got some reports in the chat that it did elsewhere, and then it came back on. And Mariners are now first and third, two outs as it comes back on.
Top of the third, 3-3 game.
This looks like it could be a slugfest today, both teams.
Well, Logan Gilbert, you're right. He pitched in that extra inning game. He looks the part, and Yesavage, the rookie sensation, who they put up there. He started the year in a single A.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Single A to game two of the ALCS.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. But
Life comes at you fast.
Yeah, it can.
On a sad note. I just saw it for the first time today.
I saw it earlier, but I wasn't sure you were aware.
No, Sandy Alomar Sr. Was a former third base coach here for the Padres back in the 80s. Passed away today. Father of Roberto and Sandy Jr.
Yeah, and a second baseman for the Halos when I was growing up.
Yeah.
That's what I remember from Sandy.
I was a really young kid, but I just remember he was super nice to me as a little kid running around that clubhouse. So sad news to see Sandy Alomar Sr. passed away. If you are, stuck under a rock, you might just be.
You could have been working really hard today and just jumped in the car.
But given how our fan base follows the Padres, I doubt it slipped by anybody's attention today. Mike Schilt retired today. Surprising news, I think, by most accounts. And so now the managerial search begins for the Padres, along with seven other teams, aside from themselves, also looking for managers. You wonder, had they known this a little bit earlier? Skip Schumacher was certainly out there. He's signed up now. So that's
can they offer a trade or something? AJ's good at that.
He is, but I doubt. I doubt CY is going to take that deal. Yeah, we got a little daily gambit to get to start. Go ahead.
But are the Padres the best situation out of all those teams?
I think so.
Yeah. So they should be getting the attention
I don't know. The Rockies is pretty
Orioles.
Inviting.
The Rockies
who wouldn't
want
to work there?
I think the reality is that there is a lawsuit still being had for the Padres for this organization. So I don't know that is the best, but it certainly is up there. Without a doubt. What's the other situation? Baltimore, maybe they got new ownership, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they did.
Nationals, they're in flux ownership wise. Rockies. who was the other ones you said?
Got the Giants.
Giants, that's a good
one.
It's probably both of the teams in the National League West are the best situations.
That makes me feel better.
There is, oh man, what is that inside where there is?
Tony's doing some hand signals.
Yeah,
I'm just not sure what this
not
is.
Not quite sure. Either.
Infrastructure.
Oh,
there's infrastructure in those two that we just named: Padres, Giants.
Yes, infrastructure's good.
I don't know if they have that in Colorado.
Well. It might not be that great, but it's there. They have Chris Bryant.
If you want to go somewhere where you're smarter than the owner, Colorado would be a good place to go.
Fair enough. All right, let's get to the Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
You know what? Calvin in the chat just said something that I was thinking, but at least he said it. Scravy for manager. I would be great. I would love it. I would lean on the people behind me.
Play your raining outside call.
Why?
Wow, it is raining really hard. This is being cool here on the Entercom Empire, so if you're sitting out there.
What? Imagine that as the man.
Yeah, that's proof that when the going gets tough, you're very calm.
Scravy, why did you make that decision in the game?
I am an idiot.
You'd be the first manager ever to answer that.
Yeah. I would give some great sound bites.
They would come in droves because Skipper, they know you would provide one.
Skipper, why did we lose that game? We
blah,
were
blah,
way
blah,
ahead.
Blah, blah.
No. I want a little more in-depth analysis. Compare it to like the 49ers Super Bowl loss. How could you lose?
Did this happen?
There we go. Yeah, that would be Scravy in the post-game.
All right, let's do some bets from last week. Tigers -1.5 over the Mariners on Friday night. I chose Tigers. You went Mariners. You guys were correct. Mariners win 3-2 in 15 innings. And Jorge Polanco won it for him.
Yeah.
Scooble over under 9.5 Ks in the game. Scooble did everything he could.
13 Ks.
And we all said under, so we were very wrong. Brewers,
I mean, 13 is kind of high.
That is high. I think he did, 7 in a row at one point, and that was like a postseason record? It's crazy.
It was crazy, yeah.
Brewers -1.5 over the Cubs on Saturday. This game was boring. We all said Brew Crew. Brew Crew wins by 2, so we win the bet. Fresno State football -6.5 against Colorado State. Chris said Colorado State. I said Fresno. Tony said Fresno. I said yes. Fresno lost to Colorado State 49-21.
Good performance by the Rams.
The Rams!
You don't even bet on your own alma mater.
It's a shame.
Sad, but true.
I went there one semester. It doesn't count. Oklahoma against Texas. Oklahoma -1. Their quarterback threw 3 interceptions, I believe. We all chose Texas, and we all were correct, 23-6. I'm just coming around to maybe Arch Manning needs a couple more years to develop before we send him to the NFL.
Yes.
I mean, everybody was like, he's a one-and-done guy.
I haven't seen anything that says he's a one-and-done guy. Chris, have you?
Coming into the year,
before the season, I mean, they already gave him the Heisman Trophy.
They were talking, but based on even when he came in for the little pieces last year, did you think to yourself, oh, yeah, I can totally see how this guy is going to be the?
I could see why the hype is what it is, but he's got a ways to go.
Yeah,
yes,
without question. But it was a good win for Texas after what happened to them, and we should mention our friend James Franklin at Penn State, who laid another huge egg over the weekend, and it was the final egg.
Won't be laying any more eggs.
Well, he won't be running up the score on anybody anytime soon.
Chris will never get over this.
Well, I shouldn't. I mean, come on. He called timeout to freeze a kicker with a 48-0 lead. And then he had some stupid excuse for it.
He's a competitor.
We didn't have the right personnel out there.
Didn't have the right personnel, man. Let it go.
He is a competitor, Chris.
Well, not anymore.
He just wants to win.
Not anymore. I mean, he's out.
They're paying him like 54 million dollars just to go away.
Second largest buyout in college history.
Yeah, he has no reason to ever coach again. That's for sure.
That is,
and I'll be
stupid.
Honest with you, I could go on and on about James Franklin, but let's go back to what you and I like to talk about real quick here, Tony. The man had his team in the semifinal game last year. That is so unfair, honestly.
I'm glad that you said that.
Come on, he was in the semifinals. What do you want?
We'd literally talk about this often, and I know how much you can't stand Jay Franken.
Right, but this is another example of what we don't like.
And this is connected, partly connected to what we've been talking about since the show began, I think, which is Mike Schilt retiring. He's getting fired in this case, so it's a little bit different. Pressures,
especially when you make the semifinal,
are more intense than they've ever been.
The best thing he ever did was make the semifinal. It was also the stupidest thing because now
the expectations
were dumb. Yeah.
I mean, it's no different than let my man for Oklahoma City this year not make the playoffs.
Oh, maybe they'll lose five in a row early in the season.
He will not be back the following year. And this is a year after blowing the field away.
Yeah. These owners.
Mark my words. They don't make the playoffs. Something like that happens, he's getting fired.
Who?
The head coach for OKC.
Oklahoma City, yeah.
I don't know his name.
I just know.
Yeah, I know his face.
Mr. Thunder.
Don't know his name.
Aztecs, minus 7.5 against Nevada. We all went Nevada. We didn't have any faith. Aztecs went 44-10. Chargers minus 4.5 at the Dolphins yesterday. Chris and Tony went Chargers. I went Fins. Chargers won, but they only won by 2. So I win the bet. Tampa Bay and San Francisco over under 47.5 total points. Chris went over. Tony and I went under. And it was 49 points.
Yeah, and it was sad because, I mean, I don't like the 49ers, but now their season is over. I mean, you can't lose Fred Warner, man.
No.
He's such a great player.
I like how
the heart and soul of the whole team, and now they're going to try to replace it. I don't see how they can do it.
Trent Williams said that after the game, that he's not just the heart and soul of the defense. He is the heart and soul of this team.
Yeah.
This entire team. I like how they on CBS were like, the replay of Fred Warner's injury is grotesque, but here's one of them for you.
Take a look, anyway.
But whatever you do, don't go to the kitchen now.
Yeah. It was bad. Dislocated ankle, broken ankle, out for the year.
Yeah.
All right.
Too bad.
Oh, Aces minus 2 against Phoenix. Aces win the title. Tony and I picked the Aces. They won 97-86.
All right. Scraby was the winner of the week. He had 27 right. Tony had 21 right. And I had 18. So good week for you, Scraby. We'll do it again this week, but we have to take a break right now. We got some games coming up later. Baseball, football. We'll talk a lot more about Mike Schilt and his decision to retire. Yes, retire. If you just tuned in, it is rather surprising. But that is the news of the day that the Padres and their fans have to deal with. And, you know, all that goes along with that. You know, did he really retire? Here's one thing I would tell you. If you're not sure, you don't know, or you really think there was a lot of, you know, afoot here, go on Twitter, go on Instagram, wherever you got to go. Just find his statement. He made a statement today. It was from the heart. And pay closest attention to the part where he writes that after basically looking out for everybody else for the last 30-something years of my life, I need to look out for my own health and well-being. That is a fair enough statement to me. But
indeed.
All right. We'll take our break here. 3-3 Mariners, Jays. In game 2, they're going to the 4th inning. We're going to a break on Gwen and Chris. One quick note as we return to Gwen and Chris for a short Monday program. Good, Bad, and Ugly, a regular Monday feature of the program where we recap the week that was in the National Football League. That has been tabled until tomorrow. So we will get into all of that tomorrow. I did see some of the tweets directed at me in the wake of the Chargers' victory over the Dolphins. Thank you very much. The agony of my Sundays continue, but that's neither here nor there. I will say this. You might have saw some of the Tua Tagovailoa comments after the game.
It's
in the Big Five. All right, let's wait for that. Yeah, we'll get into that in the Big Five. Update, Mariners got the 3-run homer from Julio Rodriguez in the top of the first. They have had very little since then. And the rookie Trey Savage has clamped down. Meanwhile, Blue Jays, 2 in the first, 1 in the second. So it's a 3-3 game, bottom of the 4th. Bizardo is coming into the game for Seattle after Logan Gilbert had started. That's where they are. One game to none, Seattle. Mariners have never been to the World Series. Just a reminder. As we get to some picks for tonight's games, Dodgers 1.5, run favorite at Milwaukee. Scrape, you're the defending champ from last week. You go first.
Milwaukee.
Gotta turn your mic on there, buddy.
Thank you.
Milwaukee is home.
Dodgers I really want to cheer against the Dodgers. I really do. But the Brewers did have a good showing against them. I'm going to go Brew Crew.
Yes, Milwaukee won all six games during the regular season. I hate to do this, but the Dodgers are just on a roll here. I go Dodgers. Keep it going. Maybe I can jinx them, but I don't know.
Maybe.
You know, it is funny. The odds right now, the final four teams to win it all. I mean, the other three teams may not even show up.
Oh, because the Dodgers
according
are so
to the
favored.
Odds, the Dodgers are so far favored. It's crazy. Tony, who do you like?
Brew Crew?
Well, these are two of your former teams. Probably torn here.
I'm going to say Dodgers win game one.
Dodgers in game one. 7.5 runs tonight. Blake Snell against bullpen. Sounds like an under to me. I believe in Blake. Tony? 7.5.
Yeah, I believe in Blake, too, and I don't know if a 7 is they're going to hang a 7 or a 6 up today in order to get... Yeah, give me under.
Go under. Scrape, anything?
I'll go over.
All right, you may. Blake Snell, speaking of Blake, 6.5 strikeouts. Tony's first here.
6.5?
Yes, sir.
Over.
Over. He's so good when he just is him. Scrape?
Over.
6.5. Yeah, that's an easy one, I think. Otani, 2.5. Runs plus hits plus RBIs.
Runs plus hits plus RBIs.
2.5. So if he obviously if he gets one of each, he'd be over. Scraby.
You know, the one thing the Dodgers haven't had and will make them very scary is if Otani figures it out, because he was not great in the DS series against the Phillies. I'm going to say 2.5 under.
Under? I always like to bet over here because Otani's one swing of the bat away from winning. A home run would be each of those. Home run, a hit, and an RBI. I'll say over for Shohei. Tony?
Over.
Over he goes. We go to the football real quick here. Bills and Falcons tonight. 49.5 points. I'm first. Over. Josh Allen, Michael Penix, up and down the field. Tony?
Over.
Over. Scraby?
I'm not sold on the Bills, so I'm going to say under.
You've been drinking the Chris Ello Kool-Aid.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. Well, Bills...
Bitter-tasting Kool-Aid.
This would be... If they win tonight, it would be their best win so far. Washington, 5.5 over Chicago.
Chicago!
Tony, I know you like Chicago.
Yeah, give me Chicago. Go ahead, Mr. Williams. Need you today.
This is the... This is a repeat of the game last year where the famous tip ball and the Bears cornerback waving at the fans goodbye.
That was funny.
An all-time classic moment.
Like with back turned to the play.
And then ran in there just in time to tip it to the Washington receiver. A moment that will never be forgotten. Scraby, who do you like?
Not sold on the Commanders. I'm going to go Chicago.
Chicago.
Chicago. This is the Commanders are good. The Bears are still trying to find it. I'll take Commanders. Jaden Daniels, minus 10 yards. Passing plus rushing yardage against Caleb Williams.
Caleb.
It's not your turn. I know you want Caleb, but I'll put you down for Caleb. Scraby.
I don't know that Caleb Williams runs as much as Jaden. I'm going to say Jaden Daniels.
Daniels. I'm going to go with Caleb only because Jaden Daniels, since the injury...
Oh, that's true, his knee.
...has been a little less likely to run. Bijan, minus 20 yards, rushing plus receiving against James Cook.
Mm.
This is a pretty good heavyweight battle. I'm going to take James Cook. He had a terrible game last time out. Bills will try to get him the ball. Tony.
James Cook and who?
Bijan Robinson.
Oh, give me Bijan.
Bijan, he says. He's got some moves. Have you ever watched him actually in a game?
My man is slippery.
Right. He gets into the hole, and then he makes six moves in a box. He is slippery. Scrabby.
I'm going to go with Bijan.
Bijan. All right, quick one in the hockey world. The Kings are in Minnesota. Tonight. Let me see how the Kings are doing here in the early going. Quick Kings update. 1-2.
It's not bad. We're on our way.
Minnesota, 1-1. The odds makers like the Kings -1.5 here. Tony.
I mean, let's see if my luck can change with the Kings this year. I'm going to take the Kings.
Kings.
Last year they lost every single time,
every time
I picked
them. Wagered on them? Scraby.
Minnesota.
I like the home team plus a goal and a half. I'll take the Wild as well. Early season success in the NHL, Florida Panthers, 3-0, defending champs. Colorado Avalanche, 3-0-1. And the Seattle Kraken, 2-0. Those are the early winners in the NHL. All right, real quick, we had Kevin Acey, who broke the story this morning on the retirement of Mike Schilt, was interviewed today.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, if anybody knows Mike Schilt, it's Kevin, and he had some things to talk about as far as how, you know, whether or not the retirement that he announced is, you know, legit in terms of on take it for its face value.
Entirely shocked. Look, there's always many layers to a story. I believe it is 100% true. The things that Mike said, he seemed weary. He seemed, I don't know if burnt out was something that I would have said before, but now it certainly makes sense. It's a demanding job. I have never covered a baseball manager who lives every single game the way Mike Schilt does. Working for AJ Preller is demanding. There's a lot of pressure. And so I want to make clear that, like, I believe that Mike is telling the absolute truth about this had worn him down. Talked about his health, and we did have a conversation in addition to the letter that he sent. He made sure that I understood that there was no pressing serious health issue, but I think all of us who put a lot into whatever the grind of your life is can understand that that does have can have an effect on your stress, and all that can have an effect on your health. And I think that Mike's season, those 8 months, it was sleep, work, Monday through Sunday, basically. And I think that Mike was ready to take at least, look, we all know what retire means a lot of times. Mike's 56 years old, hopefully a long life ahead of him. I do believe whatever else came into play, Mike Schilt was ready to take a step off the very fast moving treadmill.
There you have it.
Yep.
Tony Gwynn Jr. said much the same. I don't know, Mike, but I said much the same just in looking at this whole thing. But if you are of the mind that he was forced out, probably not going to be able to change your mind. No. You're going to think that. So,
even though that makes no sense.
It really doesn't. He left 2 years on the table.
Right.
That's the biggest key to me, is that he was...
Right, because he had a job for two more years.
If
they forced him out and he just said, yeah, I'm out because they forced me out, then he's got all that money.
Got to pay him.
So. If I'm a Padres fan, if you're a Padres fan, do not go into the comments, because I went into the comments of this and it's just all... Everybody is jumping on the Padres' downfall or demise, perceived demise.
Well, give me some of the flavor.
Get rid of Machado, and this all goes away.
These are the people who are responding to the foul territory.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, Machado's presence is what drove Schilt from the game.
That's one of them.
As a baby manager, or of course, as a manager, babysitter is tough. I should have. Not read
it's a
that
baby
one.
Managed. Baby man. Baby.
Yeah, it's a lot of Machado stuff. Dodgers made him retire. San Diego blew their window last year when they had the Dodgers down 2-1 in the playoffs. The problem is obvious in the organization.
Obvious, yes.
And they still haven't fired the right person. Machado will do that to you.
Wow. I mean, anyway, those are all interesting to read. We got to get to break here, I believe.
Yes. Got a big five.
I'd like to get to the break here. Oh, and it's my turn to send us. Mike Schilt, by the way, 2 years, won 183 games, the most in any two-year span in the history of the team. More Gwynn and Chris coming up.
Coming up on Tuesday.
3:36 on the clock. Short show. Scraby, why you look so confused over there?
Well, that's his normal look.
Did you hit my... Oh, there it went.
I know. It turned off for some reason.
I'd like to know, how did you notice that that was a confused look? That's always the look.
I see it from time to time. I kind of recognized it.
Completely perplexed. What am I doing?
I know. I see it on your face a lot.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because I don't have to push all the right buttons. You do.
Okay. Sounds like a fun fight we're having.
No fight. We got something for the people out there.
We do.
Before we get to the big five. And,
oh my gosh, I keep... I'm
going to go to Scraby for the... Go ahead.
Hold on.
I just got another text about managerial things.
Well, whether you're interested?
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Who is it, Brian Kinney? Tell him yes.
One of my buddies.
Tell Brian Kinney yes. Lead him down the wrong road so he reports it and then you can...
No.
No, not him.
Anyway, we have... Go ahead.
Yeah, we got something out there for everybody. We're doing something, and I think it's new for us.
We've resisted long enough, I guess.
We have. And sometimes the show is just, you know, I don't know. The sports world is too big for just our show, I guess is the best way to put it. So, especially on a day like today where we have a short show, we talked obviously at length about Mike Schilt and his retirement, but there's so much more we want to say, don't really have the space to. So we are directing all of you out there to a new YouTube account that Scraby has created for you to go and get some extra Gwen and Chris content.
Yes.
And Scraby's going to tell you all about it before I say the wrong thing. But before you say that...
That mama, there goes that man again.
Yes! He's the worst player I've ever seen.
Jorge Polanco just hit a 3-run home run.
Seattle 6, Toronto 3. All right, I'm glad that happened to interrupt a very important announcement.
That was hilarious.
So glad for you.
That would go great in our YouTube channel. But yeah, once, you know, all the guys or all the shows on the station have one, and I thought it was a good idea, and the guys convinced me to start one up.
Well, let's keep it a buck, okay? Chris and I resisted cameras in here for a very long time.
Yes. Are there cameras in here
now?
We
finally got past that, and then once that Pandora box was opened... We were probably going to be open to everything else that came along with it. So Scraby has been pushing us along on this for quite some time.
Finally won out.
We have finally relented.
Yes. I've created a YouTube, an Instagram, and a Twitter. So you can go and find the Twitter and Instagram is at Gwen and Chris. And the and is A-N-D. So Gwen, A-N-D, Chris on the YouTube. Or no, I'm sorry, on Twitter and Instagram. YouTube is Gwen and Chris SD.
But if they want to watch our extra stuff,
go to YouTube.
Talking more about Mike Schilt, go to YouTube,
search
Gwen and Chris.
Yes.
Okay.
Search Gwen and Chris or go youtube.com/@ Gwen and Chris SD.
And then sign up for that
particular
account. Yes. Subscribe. It's free of charge.
It's free of charge. Yeah.
Probably won't be forever because, you know, Scraby will want to make a couple extra bucks. But
well, you know, I would like that. I mean, I would like to do that. I would like to ride your guys' coattails into maybe a bigger closet that I can live in.
All the best things in life are free. Yeah. So there you go. This is free. So sign up for the account or, you know, subscribe. That way you'll be kept up to date when these things are coming and where they are and when we're doing them. And today we got a lot more deep dive on the Mike Schilt thing. So, Scraby, you've already got it up there, Reyes?
It's already up. I already put up the link in the YouTube chat. And Brandon's asking, what will be the main page for you guys to read the chat for? I haven't figured that out yet, but right now, 97.3.
You're moving too fast.
Yeah, one thing
at a time.
I literally just created the account yesterday because the guys gave me the go-ahead. So I want to bring more behind-the-scenes stuff, too. I want to do stuff like... Because we always talk about the crazy stuff that happens in the break.
I don't know if they're ready for that.
Are they ready for that? This is going to be our creation.
It's going to be a WIP.
Work in progress.
Correct. Oh, I, you know what I thought, Tony. Who is that artist that does that? Is it Doja Cat?
Oh, man, your face lit up right there.
So,
you thought it
right.
was over.
Yeah, go to YouTube, Gwen and Chris SD, Instagram, Twitter, Gwen and Chris.
One last thing, tell people that may not be listening today that it's there so they can enjoy it.
Word.
As
yes.
well.
Yes, we'll keep up.
Gwen and everyone. Chris,
yep.
The YouTube, the free bonus material.
Yeah.
I'm all pretty right. excited. I'm going to go home and watch it myself. I forgot what I said.
Okay, here is some traffic and then the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, we have some breaking news before we get into it.
I don't know if it's breaking. I think it came along with the earlier news of what was my man's name?
Brian Callahan.
Callahan getting fired. But, yeah, Mike McCoy takes over as interim coach.
What are they? Oh. What are they, the dumbest organization of all time?
My gosh.
Somebody wake up Bernie Wilson and tell him this news. Bernie Wilson thought Mike McCoy was probably the worst, as he called it, ball coach he'd ever seen.
Mike McCoy used to say this one thing, because I used to work Chargers radio back in the day, and in the press conference he would say one thing over and over and over again. It's, well, we're going to go back and we're going to look at the film. Yeah. Every single time.
Mike McCoy.
Coach, what did you think about this? You had a great play there. Well, we're going to go back and look at the film.
He was 27-37 with the Chargers.
The Chargers.
Go, Chargers, go.
They should have lost that game yesterday.
By the way, I mean, you know, that's a hell of, I'm going to try to say it was a hell of a play by Herbert to not get sacked. But the guy should sack him and win the game for Miami.
He's slippery.
And he didn't. He's strong. He's a big guy. But still.
Let's stay with that game.
Number five.
Perfect segue.
Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins lost to the Chargers yesterday, and it sent the team to 1-5 on the season. And it actually caused Tua to call out some teammates. Here is Tua after the game with the media.
Well, I think it starts with the leadership in helping articulate that for the guys, and then what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late. Guys not showing up to player-only meetings. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? So it's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up, and it starts with the little things like that.
So there you go. He was.
I wanted to hear what my man was just to be.
All right, let me go back to it.
I just want
to
hear
okay,
what he.
Hold
what
on.
He,
you're saying some players were late or missed?
Late, yeah.
Thank you.
He said thank you. thank you for making my article, sir.
I would have... I'm sorry, go ask your question.
No, I'm going to go to Chris first, because Chris is our resident Dolphins fan. But do you think that Tua needed to do this?
No. And he knows it at this point. He's already apologized to the team.
Oh, did he?
What? Yeah.
No, he had to. I mean, Mike McDaniel said, look, these comments were completely misguided, and this was not the right time to do it. And the other part of this is Tua is taking an unbelievable heat now because he is the leader of the team.
That was a good one.
And he said, we need better leadership. Well, you are the captain, so you're basically telling on yourself.
Didn't he kind of take it upon himself a little bit?
Huh?
Is that how you heard it?
I would need to listen to it one more time to like really get in on it. But,
okay.
I think this is something that has to be taken care of inside. But we know this culture, this team is a disaster right now. And that's not an overused term. Mike McDaniel honestly has to feel like he's lost all control of anything that's going on there. And, you know, I think it's too bad for Dolphin fans like myself, but you know, you can't say that the leadership sucks when you're the leader of the team.
That's
just not gonna work.
I'm surprised by this. I thought you were gonna be like, good, finally someone's taking a stand.
This has already been being said for the whole off season and into the start of the year.
But no one's
guys didn't go to practice last year, guys left practice. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey routinely just went home practice.
Aren't on the team anymore.
But
Tyreek's
the point hurt. Being, this has been going on under Mike McDaniel, and it needs to be changed. But this is a player-only meeting. What would Mike McDaniel have to do with that? He doesn't do the player-only meetings. The players do, right?
AJ Brown said last week it wasn't a player meeting that he had with Saquon and Jalen Hurts. He was just walking in the parking lot.
Well, that was reported. This is actually the quarterback who's in those player-only meetings.
Tony, do you think Tua needed to do this?
No. Well, yes and no. Here's what I would say. And I thought the same thing Chris said. That's where I thought the reporter was going to re-ask the question again.
But, aren't you the leader of the team?
So I could hear what he was actually responding to. Because if indeed the question was not about Mike McDaniels and it was about leadership in general, after he said that, I convinced myself that he wasn't a captain. I really did.
You better hope he's not. But you know what, Tony?
Okay, he's not going to talk about himself
but
like
you
that.
Know what?
So
he is a captain. That's all you need to know about the disaster.
I think this is not good for
Mike. You're the ownership. You honestly, because their owner, because I've read this more than you. You know, most people obviously, their owner does not want to make change. He's into that. He's into consistency. I get that's fair. But this case, you've got to look at all the things that are swirling around here and decide this is not right.
At the end of the day, this is not good for Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
And it's not good for Tua at this point. Because those dudes are probably looking at him sideways in that locker room. Like, I know guys didn't show up, but I'm pretty sure that violates to go to the media and be like, hey, guys didn't show up to our players-only meeting. Like, I think that's just...
Because you're also saying, guys, that means a wary eye has to be cast upon almost every player on the team.
Right. That's for those who were there.
Right.
So, yeah, that's not a good look. All bad.
I need to rethink my thought process on this.
If he is taking accountability for himself, he's still, as a leader, you can't roll your teammates under the bus.
You can say we need better leadership, and that starts with me, period.
Right. You could always point the finger at yourself, but you can't roll your teammates under the bus, even if they are not doing what is right.
Wait till that left guard who was late for the meeting slides over just a tad to give Myles Garrett a little extra opening to charge the quarterback next game. I wouldn't put it past the Dolphins at this point.
I completely took this as no other choice but to call out teammates because no one is listening.
If indeed he was not the captain, I could have got along with that. But he is clearly the captain. And he is, though. I guess he may not be talking about he's exempt, but
he may not be the captain anymore.
He's highlighting the reasons why his leadership is not going well.
I need to re-listen to this clip because I was way wrong.
I may be stupid when it comes to Jorge Polanco. But I told you guys in the off season that this was going to be the biggest dumpster fire of a season Miami's ever had.
You did
and
multiple
it's playing
times.
Out that way.
Multiple times you did.
Okay.
All right. We're not going to have time to finish everything, so I'm just going to do the best of the rest. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com.
Number four.
Oregon football.
Gosh, we were only on five?
Yeah, we got three minutes left.
Yeah, I knew we weren't ever going to finish.
Yeah, we got 3 minutes left.
Oregon football head coach Dan Lanning made one thing clear over the weekend after they lost to Indiana. He is not going to leave Oregon football. He told Chris Lowe of On3.com, quote, "I've been very clear and adamant that I'm not going anywhere. A lot of coaches use that as an opportunity to say, okay, I'm either going to get a big raise where I'm at, or maybe they really want that other job. I don't want any other jobs. I've got the job that I want," end quote. Tony, if he does leave the school, should he be criticized?
Why would he be leaving?
He's not leaving.
We're
not even going to go there.
What if Penn State goes, hey, we're going to pay you $20 million?
That's still not as good a job as Oregon. I'm sorry. You got the deepest pockets in the country.
True.
Yeah. You got every uniform combination to offer to these kids.
Not only do you have the deepest pockets, you've told everybody that you have the deepest pockets, and you're not ashamed to admit it.
At all. You got the best facilities. You got the best everything.
Yeah,
I don't know why Dan Lanning would ever leave at this point. It's because he's also really good at his job. I hate to admit that. He is fantastic at his job.
And everybody loves playing for him.
Right. And so, you know.
Indiana whipped his butt, though, and I loved it.
Yeah, they did.
Chris?
He took it like a champ, though.
No, I'm with Tony. Go ahead. See if you can sneak a couple more in here.
All right. I was surprised. I'm using the wrong mouse.
Number three.
I was surprised to read this. I was reading about the Phillies yesterday, and in Jason Stark's Athletic article about the Phillies, he wrote this buried in the middle as kind of a side topic, but here's what he wrote. One quick aside, though. Do they need to trade Kirkring? If it's possible, Philly won't ever be able to look at him again without getting Mitch Williams vibes. So that feels like something everyone needs to think about. Chris, does Orion Kirkring need to be traded because of his 11th inning error?
I don't think so. I could go into a lot of detail, but I think
that also feels like low hanging fruit.
Right. I mean, you're gonna.
It was buried in the middle of the article too.
but if you're gonna trade him and make a thing out of it, you're almost gonna blame the whole season on him, and that just doesn't look right. So
what about the guys who didn't hit in games?
Yeah,
one
trade them all.
One and two.
Yeah, and the Padres evidently have to trade a few guys as well.
Tony. Do you think he needs to be traded after his error?
No.
Ryan Kirkring?
I think that's silly. You don't find arms like that too often.
Okay.
Number two.
He just had a malfunction.
Yes. the NFL's updated kicking ball procedures for 2025 allow teams greater access to preparing kicking balls, aiming for less slickness and a larger sweet spot.
Can we add, what does that mean? How do you doctor up a kick ball?
I'll tell you. This change, which gives teams more time to work on the balls previously used, they were straight out of the box, but now they are able to increase in extra long field goals. They're saying, like, the amount of air in there.
What is work on a ball?
The amount of air in there. Maybe they've even used the ball. They like the ball type of thing.
So are they doctoring the ball so they can go farther?
Yes, basically.
And this is okay?
Eagles defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. No, this is all under the rules. They knew this was going to happen. Basically, they're finding these new balls at 5 to 7 yards to a field goal kick. Tony, do they need to reel it back in?
I kind of think so. Right now, it is like super games of kicking right now. Guys are like launching 60, 65,
70,
and it's light work.
Preseason.
I'm not talking about like the ones where they used to like scrape over the field goal post. Like, they're hitting the net now from those distances.
Yeah, they're, like, good from 75.
Yes. The record would have been set yesterday, by the way. McPherson at halftime made one 67 yards for Cincinnati, but the Packer coach had called that timeout just an instant before he kicked it. I agree with Tony. The only reason I agree is not to take away from the kickers, but I think it's bad for the game that if you reach the 50-yard line,
all of a sudden
you're now
you
in
get
field
points.
Goal range.
I
don't care for that.
I don't care for it either.
Especially with the kickoff rules, which allow you to get the ball all the way out at the 35-yard line.
Yeah.
We got to go.
Is it time?
It is time.
Monday
don't forget
Night Football.
The extra bonus YouTube channel.
Gwen and Chris SD. Gwen and Chris for the Instagram and for the Twitter.
All right.
Have a good night.
We're giving you stuff.
Back for four tomorrow.
For free.
Word up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.